Good evening. I remember as a high school student, an assignment in Mrs. Paxson's creative writing class. The assignment was, during this class period, write about yourself. Begin your composition with the words, I am, and go on to characterize yourself. Who are you? What makes you who you are? Reduce all aspects of your life into one brief composition that depicts who you are. Had you lived in Jesus' day, you would no doubt have wondered who he is. You would have been keenly interested in what he had to say about who he is. Jesus asked his disciples one day, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the response was that some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus then asked, "But who do you yourselves say that I am?" We will be using the Gospel of John as the basis of our study for the I Ams of Christ. Recorded in the Gospel of John are seven great metaphors that Jesus uses to depict himself to his followers. Each of these metaphors opens the mystery, we're going to call it, the mystery of who Jesus is a little further to his disciples and thus to us as well. The Gospel of John, as you likely know, is unique from the other three synoptic Gospels. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote about what Jesus did, John writes about what Jesus said. While the other three relate the facts of what Jesus did, John writes in more of an interpretive kind of a manner, giving us insights into the meaning, the significance, the implication of those facts. Author of John's Gospel is John the Apostle, John the son of Zebedee. His mother seems to have been Salome, who seems to have been a sister to Mary, the mother of Jesus. If so, John was a cousin of Jesus and, being about the same age, must have known him from childhood. If any insider was qualified to document Jesus' life, along with giving an insider's interpretation, it was John the Apostle, the disciple whom Jesus loved, as he refers to himself often throughout his gospel. John's gospel was probably written from Ephesus in Asia Minor, where John lived and worked, about AD 90, after the other three gospels had been completed. John was most likely aware of them and thus wrote to supplement the synoptics and provide theological interpretation of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, full of raw material of facts and events. John, the significance of the facts and events. So we might expect that John would tell us more of the significance of who Jesus is. It seems that John's perspective is that the activity of Jesus Christ is not fully understandable apart from the fact that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and God himself. It is therefore totally predictable and appropriate that those seven great I Ams of Christ come to us through the pen of the Apostle John, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Those seven great metaphors are, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. These seven great I Ams of Jesus are actually extensions of the great I Am, Jehovah God of the Old Testament, who identified himself to Moses simply as I Am. I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. God further told Moses, this is my name forever, and by this name I am to be remembered to all generations. Before we look at the first great metaphor, there's one more thing I'd like to note in John chapter 18. At the end of Jesus' life, when the band of soldiers were hunting him down, Jesus asked them, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. To which Jesus replied, I am he. And immediately this group of men lurched backward and fell to the ground. For Moses, I am made himself known by way of a bush that was burning, but not being consumed by the fire. We too, in a sense, are on holy ground as Jesus opens up that mystery of who he is a little further to us as we do this study. In the first part of John chapter 6, Jesus miraculously feeds the 5,000. Starting with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, the appetites of 5,000 men were satisfied with significant leftovers. Verse 14, the multitudes, you may follow along in your Bible if you have it open there, I'll refer to this chapter periodically. Verse 14, the multitudes were impressed. This is the prophet who has come into the world, they said. Verse 15, if Jesus can miraculously create food, let's make him our king. But Jesus escaped the crowd. Darkness lowered upon the multitude. Jesus had not returned to the disciples, so they get into a boat and begin rowing for Capernaum on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, encountering a nasty storm en route. Next thing they know, here comes Jesus walking to them on the rough waters. He gets into their boat. The storm quiets and they find themselves safely in Capernaum. Next day, the crowd that had been left behind find other boats and come to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And they find him and ask him, verse 25, when did you come here? Jesus gets right to the point and replies, verse 26, you have been searching for me, not because you saw the miracles and signs, but because you were fed with the loaves and and your physical appetites were satisfied. Jesus was obviously speaking of spiritual food, while the crowd was still thinking physical food. While their focus was toiling, doing, earning food that decomposes with its use, Jesus told them, "I'd just like to give you a free gift, lasting food that doesn't perish, lasting, eternal food. What can you do to earn eternal food?" The answer is nothing. Jesus' message is still, just believe in me and accept the free gift. Well, if that's the case then, if you want us to just believe, then what supernatural sign will you perform that we might see and believe? Verse 30. Remember what Jesus told Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." The people then bring up manna, and Jesus tells them that those who ate that manna died. Jesus is trying to help them see the eternal dimension of believing on him, the bread of life, eternal life. I'd like to read now, beginning at verse 35 in that chapter, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, hath, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live forever. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's think about bread for a minute yet. Bread is a lowly food, yet a staple. Bread is a universal food that is a staple, I understand. I read in one source, every country in the world. Ancient cultures revolved around bread and the grain harvest. Partaking of Christ is for universal mankind, transcending all cultural and racial boundaries. Jesus gave his life once, the perfect sacrifice for universal mankind for all time. Bread satisfies hunger. Young men up here, when you're real hungry, what do you go for? A lettuce salad or the candy bowl? No. Many foods of inferior nutrition cannot satisfy hunger like real bread can. There are many self-help, self-improvement, self-gratifying programs out there, but none can satisfy the spiritual hunger in the heart of mankind, only the bread of life. Bread sustains life. Bread, in the broader sense, not only satisfies present hunger, without it, there can be no life. No food, and you eventually starve to death. Why is it so important that we have regular personal devotional time? Spiritual malnutrition leads to eventual death. We need the bread of life. Bread brings about growth. No growth in a child is cause for grave concern. Remember that little song you sang as children? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible. Remember how fun that was? Forget to pray and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. That's pretty true, isn't it? We need regular nutrition, nourishment from the bread of life if we're to grow in a healthy manner. And one more thing, the eternal dimension. Remember the contrast Jesus made between perishable manna and the bread of life? Mankind has searched in vain for the fountain of youth. Jesus offers eternal life as we partake of that bread of life. I hope every one of us have come to these meetings with a voracious spiritual appetite. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.